got a sprain or an itch. Pain that's swelling or twitch. Call up and ask me. Dr. Lasky. I call up and ask me. Dr. Lasky.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining.
Hello. I'm Dr. Jones, your dentist for today. Now, this won't hurt much. Say, ah. Mm-hmm.
Ah!
A toothache is no fun. It can be scary, especially if you don't know what's causing it. A tooth can be sensitive to temperature. Try drinking something cold and tell me how it feels. But sometimes it's just plain painful when just chewing or biting.
A tooth can also be sensitive to sweet. You may even have a sharp pain or dull ache. The pain is there, but you may not know why.
Well, we're here to tell you why, or at least the many causes of the lowly toothache.
Answers to questions like, is the tooth sensitive to cold or heat? And does it hurt to eat? Can a dentist help you to determine a likely cause?
Maybe the toothache awakened you in the middle of the night. One cause could be an abscess caused by an infection or possibly a cavity. There may also be other hidden causes. Your dentist may want to take an x-ray to determine the cause.
But that is not the only procedure that a dentist can perform to help determine the cause of your toothache.
Maybe the dentist will perform the percussion test. When he taps gently on the tooth or the surrounding teeth where the pain is localized. Does this hurt?
Ah, yes, it does!
The dentist may perform the bite test with what is often called a biting stick, or she may use a cotton tape applicator. It is often used to determine what area of the tooth is causing the pain.
We also have the cold air test, which uses a gentle stream of cold air blown directly on the different areas of the tooth to figure out where the sensitivity is coming from.
The most common cause of a toothache is the lowly cavity. And among all the things that might cause a toothache, the most common are tooth decay, inflammation, and abscess, a cracked or impact tooth, gum disease, and sensitive teeth.
But you have to be careful in presuming a diagnosis, since at times, the problem may not be related to your dental health at all. Now, we'll get to that in a moment, so Carmen will start off talking about tooth decay.
Tooth decay refers to erosion and cavity formation in the outer surface, also called the enamel of the tooth. When plaque sticks to the tooth enamel, it feeds on the sugars and starches from food particles in your mouth.
Remember that plaque is the sticky, soft, and colorless deposits that are continually forming on our teeth and gums.
As we said, plaque attacks the teeth and gums with the acid it produces from bacteria in your mouth. Plaque is also responsible for gum disease and contributes to bed breath. As decay spreads inward toward the middle layer of the tooth, also called the dentin, it can create symptoms such as sensitivity to temperature and touch.
You might be wondering if anyone can be immune to tooth decay. You might think that this is a stupid question. After all, doesn't everyone run the risk of getting a cavity sometime in their lives?
Well, it turns out that many tribal peoples seem to have remained immune to tooth decay for thousands of years. Apparently, they didn't even brush their teeth, but just rinsed with water.
Research states that both the Mayans and the Arctic peoples never brushed their teeth or used toothpaste, and about 90% of both cultures were immune to tooth decay. The Yucatan diet consisted mainly of beans, corn, and a scattering of fruits and vegetables, while the Arctic diet consisted of raw or fermented seafood, seal meat, fat, and liver.
As a matter of fact, before the Gold Rush, Native Americans that lived near Sacramento, California, experienced few cavities while eating a diet based on animal meats and fats.
In Iceland, the Norsemen and Irish survived on a seafood diet with some meats, a few vegetables, puddings made from the blood of lambs, raw milk cheeses, shellfish, seaweed, no grains, and they had no cavities.
But once these cultures began eating a Western diet of processed food, cookies, candy, other sugary foods and beverages, and white flour, they began suffering from tooth loss, decay, infections, and degenerative diseases.
So what does this mean to you? Well, according to the U.S. Public Health Services, 98 out of every 100 Americans suffers from some form of dental disease.
And statistics from the American Dental Association indicate that by the time the average American reaches the age of 20, they already have 14 decayed, filled, or missing teeth.
Next on our list is inflammation of the tooth pulp, which is also called pulpitis. This condition means that the tissues in the center of the tooth have become inflamed and irritated. You may not even have known that there is actual living tissue in the center of each and every tooth.
As we said, it is called the pulp and its vitality. Both during health and after injury depends on the pulp cell activity and actual signaling processes that regulate the cell's behavior.
That itself, the phrase signaling processes, sounds ominous. It simply means that in each tooth, within the pulp, is a neurovascular bundle. In other words, again, nerves. It's during the procedure called a root canal that a dentist hopes to save a tooth that is badly decayed or has become infected. During this root canal procedure, the nerve and the pulp are removed and the inside of the tooth is cleaned and sealed.
Without treatment, the tissue surrounding the tooth will become infected and abscesses may form. So the inflammation of this tissue causes pressure to build inside the tooth and puts pressure on the surrounding tissue.
Symptoms of an inflamed tooth pulp can be mild to, as you know, extreme, depending on the severity of the inflammation. Now, treatment for pulpitis is essential because the pain will only worsen with time. Now let's get to the abscess, which is caused by the buildup of bacteria inside that pulp chamber that has become infected.
This infection then tries to drain itself out of the very tip of the tooth root. The pressure from the draining infection causes a pain that can become severe with swelling if it left untreated. Luckily, most abscesses can be seen visually on a dental x-ray.
Ever bite down and you hear that god-awful sound? Well, that could be the sound of a cracking tooth.
Your teeth can be weakened over time due to pressure from biting and chewing. The force from biting down on a hard object like ice or a popcorn kernel can sometimes cause a tooth to crack.
Here too, symptoms of a cracked tooth may include pain while biting or chewing. It may also be a sensitivity to hot and cold temperatures or to sweet and sour foods. Treatment for this condition will depend on the location and direction of the crack as well as the extent of the damage. Teeth are pretty sturdy most of the time in your mouth, but there is some movement. Occasionally, teeth can become impacted when they're prevented from moving into their proper position in the mouth by other teeth, gums, or the bone.
The most common teeth to become impacted are wisdom teeth because they are usually the last to erupt. Being that they do not look any smarter than other teeth, we had to look up the reason they were given that name.
Actually, these wisdom teeth or third molars were initially called teeth of wisdom, starting in the 1600s. It's only been since the 19th century that they've been referred to as wisdom teeth. The name has to do with the age of a person when these teeth generally appear in the mouth. That is, during the period between the 17th and 25th years of age.
So many linguists think that they are called wisdom teeth because they appear so late, at an age when a person matures into adulthood and is wiser than when other teeth have erupted.
Many of our ancestors were right in that the eruption of wisdom teeth is a sign that the carefree days of childhood have given way to the responsibilities of adulthood. When the jawbone cannot accommodate these extra teeth, the teeth remain stuck under the gum. This impaction can create pressure, pain, and even jaw soreness.
Not to the scissors per se, but ones that can cause mouth pain are gingivitis and periodontitis. These are gum diseases as characterized as an infection of the gums that surround the teeth.
This infection eventually causes bone loss and deterioration of the gums. The gums then become detached from the teeth, forming pockets that can fill with even more bacteria. Tooth roots are then exposed to plaque, which we talked about previously, and become susceptible to decay and sensitive to cold and touch. Sometimes you may even notice that your teeth, or just a specific tooth, are sensitive to cold air, cold liquids, and cold food.
There are people who simply have what is known as sensitive teeth. This means your teeth may have developed a sensitivity linked to cold temperatures.
We started out by saying that there are times when tooth pain or sensitivity has nothing to do with your teeth at all.
For example, if you have a sinus infection or congestion, you may notice that your teeth feel more sensitive than usual. You may even have pain or discomfort that seems to be coming from several teeth, when in fact, the pain is caused by a sinus infection.
This is especially true of your upper teeth because they're located directly under your sinus cavities.
Any pressure or pain from your sinuses can affect these teeth. So, are there any medications that you can take for mouth infections? Let's start with the antibiotics. These are mainly penicillin, clindamycin, and amoxicillin. Penicillin functions by inhibiting the formation of bacterial walls as they proliferate, causing bacteria to weaken and die. Clindamycin is an alternative antibiotic to penicillin for tooth infections. The third is amoxicillin, which is part of the penicillin medicine group, and clavulinate, which belongs to the beta-lactamase inhibitor family. The combination of these compounds, known by several brand names, function by killing sensitive bacteria to prevent its growth. We haven't yet mentioned fungi, candidiasis, also known as thrush. It is a fungal infection that occurs in the mouth or throat due to an overgrowth of yeast. Symptoms include white spots inside the mouth or on the tongue, sore throat, and difficulty swallowing. The fungus that causes thrush can spread to other parts of the body, like the lungs, liver, and skin. This happens more often in people with cancer, HIV, or other conditions that weaken the immune system. Oral nystatin treats thrush. The clotrimazole lozenge is only approved for the treatment of fungal infections of the mouth or throat. It may also be used to prevent these infections in patients receiving treatments that may weaken the body's immune system, such as chemotherapy.
This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 29 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just two blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care.
We now go from tooth pain to brain strain.
You know that you have heard that listening to music increases creativity?
You've heard it, but is it true?
A new theory states that background library noise is more beneficial than listening to music. I've heard it before, as many people say that music helps them focus, but a group of researchers beg to differ.
Their conclusion from studies that they performed show that music can significantly impair people's ability to solve tasks that involve verbal creativity rather than improve it.
So how did they test this new premise? They used something called compound remote associate tasks.
This test involves showing a person three words and asking them to think of a fourth word that they can add either to the front or the end of each of the three words to make three new words or phrases. For example, giving the word match in response to the three words stick, maker, and point. And that would be a correct answer because it creates the three words or phrases match stick, match maker, and match point. Another example is the word sun in response to dial, dress, and flower. And that creates sundial, sundress, and sunflower.
The researchers maintain that there is little scientific evidence to back the claim that music enhances creative problem solving.
To test this, the researchers used another procedure called the alternative uses task, in which participants give as many novel uses as they can think of for an everyday object, such as a paperclip or a brick.
However, the alternative uses task only involves divergent thinking, which helps a person generate different options, the CRAT test. On the other hand, also demands creative convergent thinking, which the author says includes the connection of different ideas to determine a single correct solution to a problem.
So to test the disruptive nature of music, the investigators ran experiments in which they invited volunteers to complete the CRAT verbal creativity tests under different background sound conditions. The participants did the test while experiencing either a quiet background, a library noise background, or music playing.
They also used three different types of music: instrumental only, with familiar lyrics, and with unfamiliar lyrics.
The results show that listening to music significantly impaired performance on the verbal creativity tasks compared with a quieter library noise background. This finding was consistent across all three types of music.
Listening to music impaired performance regardless of its effect on mood and whether or not the participant liked it. The team found that this was still the case for those who typically listen to music while they work.
So the authors concluded that music, regardless of the presence of semantic content, in other words, no lyrics, familiar lyrics, or unfamiliar lyrics, consistently disrupted creative performance in insight problem solving. There was a very good mystery about Sherlock Holmes called The 7% Solution. Being that Holmes was a well-known fictional crime investigator, most took that to mean a 7% solution to a crime, when actually it referred to a 7% solution of cocaine that the fictional Holmes regularly smoked. Anyway, our next topic has nothing to do with cocaine. Instead, it focuses on what I call the 10% solution. That is the common false fact that people only use 10% of their brains.
The brain weighs about 3 pounds and contains around 100 billion neurons, nerve cells that carry information. That's billions with a B.
So if I've already taken the cat out of the bag and disclosed the fact that the 10% use of the brain is a false figure, then what can I say in the next 10 minutes of the show? In fact, a 2013 survey showed that around 65% of Americans believe that we truly do only use 10% of our brains. The reality is that the majority of the brain is almost always active.
One common brain imaging technique called functional magnetic resonance imaging can measure activity in the brain while a person is performing different tasks.
Using this and similar methods, researchers showed that most of our brain is in use most of the time, even when a person is performing a very simple action. A lot of the brain is even active when a person is resting or sleeping. The percentage of the brain used at any given time varies from person to person. It also depends on what a person is doing or thinking about. So where did this well-known but false myth come from?
In 1907, there was an article in the journal Science written by the psychologist and author William James, who stated that humans only use part of their mental resources. However, he did not specify a percentage.
It really got started by Dale Carnegie in his 1936 book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It was simply a saying that Mr. Carnegie used in the book. No basis was ever given for the 10% number that he used. It could also be that, by coincidence, neurons make up about 10% of the brain's cells. Like any other organ, the brain is affected by a person's lifestyle, diet, and the amount that they exercise.
Most likely, many of you have friends or acquaintances who you would swear have less than 10% brain power. So to help these people improve their health and function of their brain, you can suggest the following to these less than astute people.
First, eat a balanced diet. Nuts are high in omega fatty acids and antioxidants, making them beneficial to brain health. Eating well improves overall health and well-being. It also reduces the risk of developing health issues that could lead to dementia, including cardiovascular disease, obesity, and type 2 diabetes. Fruits and vegetables with dark skins are certainly beneficial to your health.
Some are rich in vitamin E, such as spinach, broccoli, and blueberries. Others are rich in beta-carotene, including red peppers and sweet potatoes.
Vitamin E and beta-carotene promote brain health. Oily fish, such as salmon, mackerel, and tuna, are rich in omega-3 fatty acids, which may support cognitive function. Walnuts and pecans are rich in antioxidants, and those promote brain health.
It goes without saying that regular exercising also reduces the risk of health problems that may lead to dementia.
So it goes without saying, why are you saying it?
Very funny.
Cardiovascular activities, such as walking briskly for 30 minutes a day, can be enough to reduce the risk of brain function declining. What else can you do? You know, bike riding, jogging, swimming. They all help to keep the brain active.
The more a person uses their brain, the better their mental functions become. For this reason, brain training exercises are a good way to maintain overall brain health.
Carmen and I have already talked about brain exercising. This includes karaoke, playing an instrument. Well, I personally like to recommend either the harmonica or the ukulele. Our patients know what our take is on these instruments. They can be simple to play or played professionally. They also help with hand coordination, thinking, memorizing, and breath building.
A recent study conducted over 10 years found that people who use brain training exercises reduce the risk of dementia by 29%.
I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. These now include amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, cancer, Crohn's disease, epilepsy, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, seizure disorders, chronic muscle spasms, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, PTSD, a terminal condition, as well as other ailments and conditions, including certain diseases with chronic or long-term pain. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We've also set up a website for our medical marijuana Society at www.medmarsoc.com. That's www.medmarsoc.com. We have also set up a special website at compassionatecarejacks.com, where you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. You can also set up an appointment for an office visit to Southside Medical Center right on the website. Again, that website is CompassionateCareJacks.com. Well, we've come to the end of another Hey Doc show. Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.